Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Everybody set?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I got a couple thoughts I'd love to share with you guys. And more than that, I have a couple pieces of truth from the Word that I'd love to dive into with you. This is kind of a neat thing, this whole Sunday night overflow thing we're doing for the summer. I really dig it. I believe that God put something inside my heart in regards to this idea, this thought of overflow. It's just so cool, especially on a hot summer like this. It's just refreshing to think about, you know? And the Bible has a lot to say about these kind of things. You know, last week, Pastor Tony did a phenomenal job talking about unity, talking about what happens when we have this mutual honor, you know? And it's such an amazing way to think about it. The word says that unity is a setup for God to do something big, you know? And it's a great way to open this whole idea of what God wants to do this summer. So I'd love to kind of take a look at the next step with that. I'd love to take a look and see what this God that is in this book, that lives in our hearts, would love to do in your life. Because I believe that it's really kind of cool when you read the Bible. When you have something so big, it's hard to find words to describe it. You know, emotions, feelings, moments. It's hard to find one English, Spanish, Russian, I don't know, word to describe something. So we end up using these pictures. We end up using these long descriptions. And that's exactly what God's like. All throughout the Bible, it's just kind of hard to pin him down with one idea, one concept, because he's just that big, you know? And he's usually the God of. He is a God, and you start describing him. He's kind of like this. He's kind of like that. And today, I'd like to talk about how the God that we serve is the God of the overflow. It's such a crazy picture. If you've ever been to the beach, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Try to stop a wave next time you go down to Newport. Try. I dare you. I dare you. Try to stop a wave. And let me know how that turns out. Bring me the dental bill, you know, and to look at. I don't want to pay it. But I dare you to try it. You know, water is this unstoppable force, and you begin to see how God's described in these ways. It's really this beautiful poetic picture, right? So I look at this, I find these ways that God, that Jesus describes himself. He begins to describe these things that he loves to do, that God desires to do in us and around us. And I come to this place in the book of John. The book of John, the 7th chapter, Jesus is there at this feast, this huge party. Everybody's in one accord because they're all celebrating. They're all doing the same thing, you know. Everybody apparently is like a Raiders fan or something like that. There's no Patriot fans to be found anywhere. And everybody's doing the same thing, going the same way. And here they are at this feast. All the Jews are in town, and they're doing this feast, and they're singing the same songs. And Jesus is there, and he begins to, at the last day, begin to say a couple things that are quite interesting. He says this. He says, now on the last day of the feast, that great day, Jesus stood up in the middle of the crowd. He stood up in the middle of the crowd, and he cried out. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This is interesting. It gets interesting. And then we're going to go someplace that it gets even weirder. He says, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart. If you believe in him, out of his heart. I think that his is a you. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. I know, right? Now he said this about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. There's a future tense thing. Jesus is saying, guys, this is going to happen. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's code for crucified and raised, all right? That's all it means. So if we look at Jesus, and we look and Jesus says, this is going to happen. Well, let's take a look at what happened. Acts, the 2nd chapter. So cool. Acts, the 2nd chapter. The disciples, you know, Jesus died, crucified, rose again, and the disciples are just chilling. They're waiting. They're hanging out to see what's next, right? They're all in one accord. They're all thinking the same thing. They're all totally different, but they're waiting for the one that they love, God, to do what he promised. Exactly what Jesus was saying in John, the seventh chapter. And it says they were all filled in Acts 2, verse 4. In Acts 2, verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit began to give them utterance. Now, this is interesting because you got to catch the jump here. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There they were in the upper room, the second story of a little restaurant. And it says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, another party, another celebration. Go figure. These people love to party. Jerusalem, these Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, they came to this city. And the sound of the multitude of those who were baptized, those who were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to come together. And all the people who heard these people filled with the Spirit come, these rivers of living water began to come out of them. They were baffled. They were bewildered. They were taken by surprise. Why? Because each one of these people from around the nations had come and they heard these disciples speaking in their language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these people Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Man, there's so much good stuff right there. Like, I just don't have, I told myself, just preach one message tonight, Richard. That's just one. So let's do this. Here Jesus says in John, he says, if you come to me and you're thirsty, I'll fill you up overflowing. And then we see it happen. There they are praying, they're asking. And what happens? God answers their prayer, fills them up, overflowing. So much that it moved them from the top floor to the bottom floor, out into the city where everybody was at. And they just caused a mess. I mean, could you imagine the traffic? And there they are, and everybody's bewildered, astonished. Things are happening. People are saying, hey, let's go look at this. There's something going on around there. It's such a beautiful picture of the difference between me and God. It is. I'm telling you, you got to get it. You see, God is too big to be contained. You've got to catch this. God is too big to be contained. You see, God refuses to be tamed. God refuses to be caged. And God refuses to fit inside of your boundaries. And you've got to get this because you can miss it in those two verses. What happens? Jesus says, oh, you thirsty now. Oh, you're thirsty. Let me help you out here. And he turns on the fire hose. I know he does that because he fills you up so much that you cannot contain it. He overflows your capacity. And then you see it perfectly in pictured. You see it perfectly in this moment in the upper room. Jesus comes in. The Holy Spirit fills the room. He fills a ton of people, and it can't fit second floor. It flows down to the first floor, and that's still the house is just not big enough, right? So all of a sudden, the disciples begin to pour out into the city, and they make a mess everywhere. You see, God spills all over the place. You see, if you find yourself in a dry and thirsty place, that's okay because God's got more than enough for you. So much that if it just fills you up, I'm gonna tell you this: you haven't pressed hard enough. If it only fills you up, I got good news, because you have not even begun to tap into the goodness that God has for you. Because you know that you have the goodness of God in your life is when it doesn't fit inside of your life. What did God tell David? He said, come on, you're seriously going to build me a house? Seriously, you're going to build me a house. Try it. The heavens, he said, earth is my footstool. I rest my big toe on Mount Everest, and you're gonna build me a house. Try it. Solomon spends $2 billion trying to make the most beautiful mansion he can. And then God shows up and he still spills out of it. Man. He says, you wanna see a house? I'll build the house. And he takes and he formed your heart. And he said, you know what? Still not big enough. Because I'll fill that up and watch you pour it out on others. Man, you see, he's a God of the overflow. You can't contain him. See, that's how you know you had church, is when you can't keep it to yourself. That's how you know you had a moment with God, is when you've got to tell the story. That's how you know you've been prayed for, because you gotta pray for somebody else. That's how you know you've been filled, because you're spilling all over the place. It won't fit in our little lives. That was kind of exciting. You see, we were designed to distribute. We were designed to be a distributor. You were not designed to be a container. You were designed to be a distributor. You see, being empty is just another opportunity to get filled up and spill out all over the place. Because I know in this place, we have some people that are full of it. And we have some people, never mind. We have some people that are empty. And we have some people that are dry. And we have some people that are waiting for the next thing. And we have some people who are, we've learned to yawn in church and say, is that it? Don't worry, no condemnation, we're not done yet. But we've learned to do these things. And what we miss oftentimes is that you are designed to distribute. So if you find yourself in an empty place, that's okay. It's just another opportunity for you to get filled up so you can spill out again. And all comes back. In John the 7th chapter, what did Jesus say? He said, come to me. Come to me if you're thirsty. Being thirsty, being empty, it's a good thing. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say, gosh, really? Again? How much longer? You know? No, he says, no. If you're thirsty, come to me. He says, man, I wish people would hunger and thirst for righteousness. I mean, if you're satisfied, you don't want another drink. You don't need another meal. But if you're in a place of thirst, you're in a very good place. And I love it because the way Jesus discusses it, he says, come to me and I will fill you up. But the verse doesn't stop there. So I will fill you up, and out of him, out of her, will come rivers of living water. Wait. I thought we were talking about me, Jesus. No. That's the funny part of it. You may come for selfish reasons, but when you have an encounter with Jesus, you leave with selfless reasons. So, I mean, think about it. The woman who broke the alabaster box left smelling beautiful. But that wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the purpose. She wasn't thinking, man, I stink. She said, I want to honor my Savior. And she left blessed. You're thirsty? Because you've been designed to distribute. You've been designed. I love what Pastor Jim used to say years ago. He said, we're the West Coast distributors of God's grace. We are, look, if you're holding on to it, you're doing it wrong. You have not been called to be a hoarder because it wasn't for you. Look, a consumer consumes, but a saint distributes. And don't worry, because you get it first, you just get to give it away. Right? Any blessing given to you is temporary. So why are you gonna trip when it's gone? Why are you gonna trip when it goes? Like, right? Like, think of every blessing you have, gone tomorrow. It wasn't meant to stay in your hands. It was not meant to stay, even your life was not meant to stay in your hands. Your life is temporary. We get tripped out because life goes through these phases and we know it's just not permanent. But it was never meant to be in this world we live in the way things live in, the way we live today. We're here for a moment because it's been given to us to give away. So don't trip when it's gone. It's just changed hands and now it's their turn to be blessed. I'm not a hoarder, I'm a distributor. We were designed to distribute God's goodness. So we pray for it, only to give it away. It's this beautiful picture. And that's how you know you're doing it right, is when it overflows out of your life into another. Because you really can only give out of your overflow. You can only give out of your overflow. Because if you were designed to distribute, then that means that when you're empty, it's just another opportunity. You know, Jesus didn't rebuke them for being thirsty. Just like it would be preposterous to rebuke a marathon runner for saying, "Really, you want water? Shouldn't you prepare better?" I mean, being empty is part of the seasons of life. It's not a bad thing if you find yourself tired, if you find yourself used. I mean, that's what we pray all the time. Lord, use me. And then he uses you, and you're like, I feel so used. How dare you, Lord? That was my Sunday night. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know? Like, Lord, they took advantage of me. Oh, you know what? Look. It doesn't belong to you anyway, okay? They use your talents. They use your time. I get it. I feel that way too sometimes. But then I have to remember myself that every time I pour myself out, it's just another opportunity for God to give me a new anointing, a new blessing. You see, water stays healthy, stays fresh when it's transitional, when it's flowing and moving. It gets stale, dangerous, poisonous when it becomes stagnant. So I'll tell you, if you hold on to it long enough, if being tired don't kill you, hanging on to it will kill you. So it's time to learn how to embrace the empty and say, God, I'm ready for more. You see, that's where tired gets bad, is when you stay empty. And that's why Jesus said, I know you're empty. Come to me. You're thirsting. You hurt. You're sad. You have a negative emotional reaction. I know. I gave those to you to make you realize you need me. Have you ever felt dissatisfied with life? Jesus gave that to you so you would know my satisfaction isn't in my job. It's in him. Have you ever wondered why maybe staying home as a mom is not satisfying as you thought it would? I thought they would love me and kiss me. No, they'll throw up on you and poop on you. And it's not as satisfying as you thought it would because it was never meant to satisfy you. When you find yourself in these dark places, it's because Jesus designed that to go off as a warning to you. It says, look, you're running empty. It's time to run. Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I will fill you up. And we what happens is we try to press in harder. Oh, my career is what will make me feel better. I just need to get that next promotion, that new car, the bigger house, another kid. That's what I need. And we press harder into the emptiness. And Jesus said, these are accessories in life. It's not the main course. Embrace the empty because it points you back to the one who wants to fill you up again. Jesus said, come. Come to me. I love it. He's not bashing anybody on the head here. He says, come to me, all who labor. That's a good thing. Work is good. Work's not part of the curse. Work is a good thing. Amen. All who labor and are heavy laden. Okay. So that could be either or. You know, some people are hanging on to things they shouldn't be. Other people, you're just burdened because you have a lot of responsibility. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here we have this moment where God is so kind to us. He is so kind to us that says, when you have a need, I will fill you up. What did he tell Paul? He said, look, rejoice and boast in your weakness, because when you are weak, then I am strong. When you hit that point where you want to quit, good news, because grace is ready to kick in. That's the moment where God begins to go into overdrive, where God says, finally, we found the end of you so we can find the beginning of me. And that's where God wants to take us. That's where these emotions, that's where they do their job. These moments, these frustrations do their job. And they say, this is the moment that I've been waiting for you to finally realize. The alarm's going on for you to wake up. I love what he said about the prodigal son. Come to your senses. Well, that'll preach. That's another message. Come to your senses and recognize where the good stuff is. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he says in this next verse something really interesting. He says, take my yoke, that's his burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. See, this is bizarre, because the answer for your burden is not to get rid of it. Look, you retiring and moving to Hawaii, as nice as that may be, is not the answer to your problems. Jesus said the answer to your burden is a different one. The answer is not a vacation or more or less work. It's a burden that I've given you. And I love it because Jesus always shares a burden. He never gives it to you fully. He always takes it with you, hand in hand. You know, yoke was meant for two. I'm gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest in my burden. For my yoke is easy. Because let's be honest, he's doing all the work anyway. My yoke is easy, and my burden, there's that burden again. You can't get away from it. Serving is not a season, it's a lifestyle. Okay? You don't have your season of giving. Sorry, guys, that's a circle. The circle of life. That's what it is. I love this guy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You've been designed to distribute. It's been given to you to get through you. And once it goes through you, you find yourself tired because you've been working hard. You find yourself tired because maybe you've been used. Because the people that you gave it to, maybe they were rude. Maybe they were disrespectful. Maybe they didn't react the way you wanted them to. But that's none of your concern. That's between them and Jesus, which is kind of a scary thing to think about for them. But it's not your matter what they do with it. It's your matter what you do with it. That'll set somebody free in this place. Because his yoke is easy. It never belonged with you in the first place. So as you give it up and you find yourself empty, as life oftentimes is when you're working and doing life, you get tired. It's a natural occurrence. Happens every night for some people around 8 in the evening. Other people maybe around 11 in the morning. You know?
Sugar low.
You're just not you when you're hungry. And it's natural. And at those moments that you begin to say, God, I need you to fill me up with that living water, to be filled and continually being filled. And it's those moments when you get filled up, then you can spill out around the world that you live in. Because that's the goal. The gospel was never meant to be a secret. It was always meant to be shared. It was always meant to be shared. It's really, truly the only way it works. It's so funny that it works best when you give it away. So God's desire is to fill you up in order that you would spill out. It's funny, when you really look at the Old Testament, God put this law in there. It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Like, I get it, don't kill people. Okay, God, no offense, I could have figured that one out, you know? Don't steal. All right, maybe sometimes I want it. Sorry, this pastor's being real. No, I'm kidding. That is another family member. I didn't tell them I was preaching tonight, so they're not live streaming. It's okay. But God makes this really weird rule about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day off. And it's weird because these people just got done with 400 years of slavery. Who has to tell a slave to take a day off? Wouldn't you just figure it's like, you know, they're like, deuces, I'm out of here. The rest of my life is a day off. And God takes these slaves and says, take a day off. And it's punishable by death if you don't. Like, this is serious. That's how important rest is for each and every one of us. You know, people have said I'd rather burn out than rust out. But the problem with both of those is that you're both out. So there has to surely be a third option. Can I just stay in? And Jesus never gets rid of the Sabbath. He says, I am the Sabbath. He says, you come to me and I will give you rest. Amen. And every day begins to be a Sabbath. When you take that time out and say, Lord, fill me up so I can spill out all over the place again. Fill me up, refresh me so I can get tired, so I can be refreshed again, so I can get tired. It happens naturally every day. You do all this work and then you get tired and you go to sleep. And then you wake up and you do all this work and then you get tired and you go to sleep. And then you do all this work and you get tired and you go to sleep. Like, we're so used to that. But internally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, for some odd reason, we don't make the translation. Oh, yeah. I need some rest. And then you get really mad at everybody else, and it's really your fault. Like who's...
Oh, no. That's why some people sit alone, so they don't get hit.
But whose responsibility is it in my life to see that I get rest?
This is the part of the sermon where you start maybe like feeling bad about yourself. I'm sorry. But
really, whose responsibility is it? God's ready to fill you up. The Holy Spirit's available. Your wife probably wants you to be less grumpy. Right? So I need to be a good steward of my own soul and say, Lord, I fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Hey, let's do this. One of my favorite psalms. You know it. You probably know it. If you've been around church for a little bit, you probably know it. Psalm 23. It's phenomenal. It's like a one-stop shop for goodness. And it's a poem. Like, how much more beautiful could it be that God would wrap up so much goodness inside of one poem? And I want to go through it just real quick. You see, you have been designed to distribute. So when you find yourself distributed, empty, it's okay. It's okay. Because you just have to see the opportunity to fill yourself up again. So you can spill out on the world around you. God's goodness, not like the garbage, right? Because burnout happens when you don't do that step. And I wonder if that's why God made it an offense punishable by death, because he's like, if I don't kill you, you'll do it yourself, you know? Because that's what overwork does, is it runs you down. It's almost like its own punishment. So we're called to give out of our overflow when we're good stewards. And then you don't feel the weariness because you're just giving it away anyway. But there's times where you run hard, right? And then you begin to give from that source underneath the top of the lid. You begin to give from those places, which you need to do sometimes. I get it. Life goes hard. But that's where you have to refill. Because when you get to the bottom of the cup, the only thing left is flesh. And you still have to give because life don't quit. And when you're empty, you begin to give out of your flesh, and the only thing the flesh can bring is death. And if you've been called to distribute, you begin to become a distributor of death instead of life. Anger, frustration, unforgiveness. You say things you wish you wouldn't have said. You think things you didn't wish. And then you begin to try to fill yourself up yourself because fear kicks in. And you begin to do these coping mechanisms, eating, you know, sin. We've been in these coping mechanisms of depression, these coping mechanisms of self-harm, these coping mechanisms of beginning to try to medicate ourselves with things because the flesh begets death. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, it's so good. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, he cares. He cares. Somebody needs to hear it. He cares tonight. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. It's funny. He makes you, right? Because you won't do it yourself sometimes. Oh, I like it. God gets us, right? Ah.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Oh, he restores my soul. Oh, they got it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's nothing to do with you. It's because he's that good. And you have these verses here, then they kick off this poem. And it paints this picture of what God wants to do with you, how God wants to interact with you to restore your soul, because he knows life is hard. From the beginning, God gets it. You're just not enough. Like, you're limited. The only perfect one, the only fully sustainable one is him. You were designed to be limited. So when you hit the limit, good news, you were made to do that. So don't be angry when you hit the limit. Don't be angry when you find yourself tired. Don't be guilty when you're just not enough. Because you were designed to not be enough. Because he restores your soul. He leads you to green pastures. Now, these next couple verses is where real life kicks in, because that's a really pretty picture. Real life hits this poem, this moment between you and God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody's there. Somebody's there today. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's protecting you. His rod and his staff. He's keeping the wolves away. Because the place God's called you is not easy street. He's called you into the valley of the shadow of death. I remember Jesus specifically saying something about the gates of hell. Oh yeah, we're going to storm them. Like, that's where he's called you to go, right? Into the gates of hell. Like, this is not a vacation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because evil's all around us. Right? I don't have to tell you that. You live it. I will fear no evil because you comfort me. You're with me. You're protecting me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the crazy part. He says in verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Who has dinner in the middle of a war? I mean, unless you know it's already been called. You already know who the winner is. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, my cup runs over. Oh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now catch this. Catch this. The blessing didn't come when the problem left. The blessing didn't come when the problem left. It was actually right there face to face. You see, you don't need your problems to go away for you to be blessed. So stop waiting for it. Stop waiting for everything to work out before you see God doing something on your behalf. Sometimes the answer comes in the middle of the storm. Because he prepared that table before your enemies. The anointing came. The overflow came in the valley of the shadow of death. So some of us have had a blessing sitting in our hands, and we've been too busy looking around at the troubles to realize that your cup is waiting to overflow. Oh, where's the band? Can I get the band up here real quick? Hey, Angel, you're killing it, man. You're doing a good job. I like Angel. Oh, man, everybody, you know, we are containers because that's what you need to distribute. And everybody in this place, you know, we have a few hundred people in this place. And everybody is at a different level of capacity. But I believe that wherever you are, God desires to fill you up. We only have a few minutes left, but I believe that God desires to fill you up. Wouldn't it be terrible if we just talked about it and then we're like, all right, see you, tacos. Because that's another way of getting filled up, you know. Tonight, I'd like you to take a look and say, God, where am I at? You know the question, right? Is the glass half full or half empty? I just figure if it's half, then where's the waiter? Can you fill it up? You know? Like I don't care, half empty, half full, just fill the thing up. And that's where we need to be with our life. Today, if you're empty, I would like you to stop feeling guilty about it. And let's do something about it. Today, if you feel empty, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I mean, unless you just choose to stay empty. But why would we do that? Why would we do that? I'm asking myself that because I have a tendency, you know? So today, if your cup is empty, I'd like to know if you've been spent. You've been working hard. You've been pulling late shifts. Maybe you've been trying to get ready for this next school year. Maybe, you know, having three kids was harder than you expected. Maybe you hit the end of your passion and you've been spending and spending. You've just been spent. Maybe your cup is empty because you've been spilled. Spilled. It happens. Life sideswipes you. You didn't expect it and the cup gets knocked over. You didn't give it, it was taken from you. Maybe that's what you felt. I think of that. I think of Jesus on the cross. What the one who gives living water, what did Jesus say on the cross? I thirst. Whoa. That doesn't work with my theological bend. Jesus said, I thirst. He was spilled out for us. It was done to him. But he was looking to distribute. You've been spilled. You've been hurt. You've been harassed. It happened to you. You didn't ask for it, but you've been spilled. Today, I've got good news because an empty cup is just another opportunity to be filled up. Because a spill doesn't define your life. Just put you upright. Let's fill you overflowing. Maybe you're in this place, you're like, Pastor Richard, look, I don't know. I've been doing this for a while. Same Bible stories, same thing. Church, wah. You're just thirsty. You're just thirsty. See, maybe the issue is not that you've been spending. Maybe the issue is not that you've been spilled. Maybe the fact that God has increased your capacity and now you just have a larger capacity that he's willing for you to step up and do something new so you can spill out in a larger way. You know, if you've been around church for a long time, what happens? We get jaded. You get used to the church thing. God has grown you so much, you don't know how to deal with this larger capacity. You operate in a smaller capacity, and it's just not enough. But you need to challenge yourself and say, God, you've grown me. I've seen new things. And God, now, instead of getting jaded, it's time to get thirsty in a new level and say, God, you've expanded my capacity. I need a new way of doing things because I know you've got it. I just don't know how to get there. You just found a new level of thirst. So today, this amazing team, they want to sing a song, if you don't mind. And I'd love for God to spill on you, if that's okay. I'm sorry, I'm kind of strange and say things strangely. Thank you for putting up with me. But today I want to open up the altar as they just sing a song. Because that's what happened in that moment in Acts 2. They were together praying in one accord in the middle of a festival. So today, we have food, must be a festival. I have music, must be a party. We're all together. So we're in one accord.
Sounds like a setup, Pastor Joe.
Today, don't leave this place empty. Don't leave this place empty. The blood of Jesus was too expensive to be ignored. So don't allow our pride, don't allow our issues, don't allow the fact that maybe this is strange to you stop you. Don't let it allow you to waste the goodness of God that He so desperately wants to get out of you. Not because you're that amazing, but because the people around you need it. They need you to be full. They need you to be blessed. So you can be a blessing. Who'd have thought? My worship ain't for me. The bands are beginning to sing, and I'd like to ask you to read this place. If you wouldn't mind, let's stand. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.